My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, says St. Paul to the Ephesians, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings of heaven in Christ. Today is a day of thanksgiving in the prelature, because it's the anniversary of the establishment of Opus Dei as a personal prelature by Pope St. John Paul II. And this marked the culmination of a very long and tortuous juridical pathway that God wanted for our supernatural family. That pathway, which was intimately tied up with the life of our father. And so there are many things to be learned from this juridical pathway, partly responsible for the holiness of our father. There is a big book called The Canonical Path of Opus Dei, which is a really good book to try and read some stage in the course of your life. It reveals many things. And of course, that whole of that juridical pathway is now public knowledge for our edification and for our also appreciation of what our father did over all those years. The one thing he lived for was that juridical solution. Because he knew as a lawyer that unless that juridical solution was carved in stone in the law of the church, anything could happen over time. And so he made that a very central intention of his life, what was called at the time the special intention. And he died eventually without having seen that fulfilled, because it was the will of God that Don Alvaro would finish off that juridical pathway in a very special way. And so today is a day of thanksgiving as little children with a new maturity, we try to come to realize what that juridical pathway means. What the prelature means in the history of the church and in the history of the world. We're not just a few people, as our father liked to say, who have decided to do something good. We are fulfilling an imperative command of Christ, a very special task that God has wanted for us. In the early days of the work, our father liked to point out how to be holy. People went away from society. There were the early hermits. They became monks, the 5th century or so and earlier. And then in the 11th or 12th century, there were the friars that went a bit out, more out into the world. They taught, they ran parishes, they did different things, the mendicant friars. And then in the 16th century, the church takes another step out into the world with the religious orders. After the Council of Trent, there's a great flourishing of religious orders all over the world, which are going to be the backbone of the church for the next 3 or 4 centuries. Many of us grew up educated by those religious orders. But then our father said it's as though on the 2nd of October, 1928, God played his trump card. And the church steps out one step further out into the world. When it's not just monks or friars or priests or nuns that are called to be holy, but every person is called to be holy. This gets expressed in the Second Vatican Council and also in all the statutes and spirit of the prelature of Opus Dei. As we look to the coming centuries, well, we are now in the vanguard of this battle. The evangelization of society, of culture, a new evangelization, on which so many great things depend. And when the Father, in his latest letter, is preparing us for the 100th anniversary of the founding of the work, 1928 to 2028, only 8 years away, he's inviting us to dream. To dream like our Father did in the early years of the work. To dream about overcoming all the obstacles like our Father did. Intermedia mansurum per transibunt aquae. The waters will pass through the mountains. All difficulties will be overcome. But God wants us to live and to work with faith, with hope, with trust, with abandonment, living out our divine filiation. And God will work all the miracles. And even if the task of the evangelization of society may seem impossible, those were the same sentiments that our Father had in the early 30s. He said to our first sisters, when there was one center in Madrid, as he painted the marvelous picture of the expansion of the work, he said to them, you can have two reactions. One is to say, it's impossible, or the other to launch out into the deep with faith and trust in God. He said, I hope your reaction will be the second. And now the work has spread all over the world. Well, we are the inheritors of this great legacy. And so today's feast day is a special day in the course of the year that invites us to stir up those memories in order to make resolutions for the future, resolutions to grow, to conquer our pride and selfishness, resolutions of a greater self-giving like our Father had, resolutions of not wanting to be the center of attention, to give ourselves to others a little more, to fulfill the norms better, with more love of God, to have a proselytistic fidelity, so that while we look back over the last 90 or so years and see all that has been accomplished, we also realize that this is nothing compared to what God wants us to do in the future. Don Alvaro talked a lot about the new flourishing of the church in the world. John Paul II talked in similar terms. The Second Vatican Council has placed the building blocks for that new flourishing. And the Prelature of Opus Dei is one of those building blocks. That spirit has been entrusted to us. And so with great reason, Don Javier used to say, the work is now in our hands. So many difficulties had to be overcome before the definitive juridical solution became a reality. And so we shouldn't be surprised if we find that all these things take time also. That little by little, we have to go through all of these things. Difficulties that have to be overcome, problems that have to be solved, all sorts of things that have to happen. Our role is to put one foot in front of the other, to persevere in the struggle, to think of the aspiration that our Father gave us of vale la pena, is worth the effort. Begin again with a new fortitude. The difficulties that our Father encountered along that juridical pathway were a journey to holiness. They were divine calls. And so all the challenges that we might experience in the same way in relation to the development and expansion of the work, horizontally or vertically in society, were also a divine call to that goal of our vocation. The difficulties make us grow in humility and in divine filiation. We're aware of the acts of the devil to stop that going through. There were many moments when the devil acted in very definite ways. Our father was very conscious of that throughout our juridical history, made us very aware of it. The devil did not want Opus Dei to go through. Our father also talked about the reality of providential injustices that he had to experience. It's a useful little adjective. We might experience injustice in some way or another in our work, in our marriage, in our family. But our father helps us to put that adjective providential before it. After his ordination, he shortly afterwards had to leave Zaragoza, he said, due to a providential injustice. That led him to Madrid. And it was in Madrid that God wanted Opus Dei to be born. God used that injustice to change the path and the course of his life, because he had greater plans. From 1951 onwards, our father had greater recourse to Our Lady with the aspiration, Cor Maria Dulcissimum, iter para totum. Most sweet heart of Mary, make the way safe. And all the time, that aspiration referred to the juridical solution, so that in the course of his life, he might be able to fulfill the mission that God had given to him and see it completed, which he was now able to do from heaven. And so Don Alvaro said, after the establishment of the prelature, that what God has done is worthy of us to be prostrate before God for the rest of our lives. And he resolved to lead a lifetime of thanksgiving. When Don Alvaro came to Manila in 1987, I was talking to him at one stage and telling him little anecdotes. And each time I told him something, he would say, gracias a Dios, thanks be to God. You could really sense that this business of leading a lifetime of thanksgiving was not just a nebulous idea. It was something he was putting into practice in a very concrete way. And so he invited us to sing a sort of a permanent Te Deum, praising God and thanking him for this wonderful thing. And it's now our grace to, little by little, come to try and understand those words, the meaning and the significance of the establishment of the prelature, and to make new resolutions of fidelity, so that in the work, as our father taught us, we always live in the times of our father. We've heard the anecdote of how one time somebody mentioned to Don Alvaro that that's how things were done in the times of our father. And Don Alvaro immediately said, well, please don't use that phrase, in the times of our father, as though it's something past that we can forget about. He said, we will always be living in the times of our father. Those times have to always be relevant for us, if something to say to us. And so every step of that juridical pathway has formative points for us, things to learn, so that we understand the length and the breadth of the prelature, and we understand a little better the figure of our father, who he was, what he did, the role of Don Alvaro. And even though decades have already passed since that establishment, well, we're still learning. And one of the goals, Don Javier liked to say, for these decades, the early part of the 21st century, is a deeper understanding of the juridical configuration of the prelature in the church, by people of the church. Happily, nowadays, people are getting more used to and more accustomed to say the words personal prelature. But that wasn't the case 30 or 40 years ago. And we have to continue on that pathway, and also be able to explain the prelature, We don't have to go into in-depth canonical explanations, but we do have to have a couple of simple phrases when people ask us, well, what is a personal prelature? In gratitude to our Father for what he's given to us, we owe him that we have a few clear phrases up our sleeve. Well, it's a new or relatively new jurisdiction in the church of universal scope with its head in Rome that gives formation to people, specifically helping them to sanctify their work into apostolate. Even if we say one sentence like that, that's usually enough for most people. They don't need something too profound. But we do need to have those words ready at every moment. But at the same time, we continue to read, to study, to know a little bit more about this juridical configuration, so that we see its beauty, its depth. We understand, so that we come to understand all the steps that our Father had to take and Don Alvaro to make this new configuration crystal clear in the history of the church. Our Father did not just found Opus Dei. He gave rise to a whole new juridical entity. But just like the entity of religious orders in the 16th century flourished in hundreds and hundreds of religious orders all over the world that became the backbone. And so in the coming centuries, there might be hundreds of personal prelatures, the whole new reality for the church. And hence very important for us to understand a little bit about this history, about what it means, about all the instruments that God used to bring it about. And our Father liked to say in Don Alvaro that God has done everything. We owe it to him. We've just been useless instruments. And so a new humility. This feast day can lead us to be a little bit more united to the Father, to take his recent letter and go through it, syllable by syllable. All the letters that come to us from the Father have a profound importance for our spiritual life and our formation. And we need to go back and read them again and again. And also the early letters of our Father, of Don Alvaro, of Don Javier, they all have something to say to us. And so retreat by retreat, annual course by annual course. We can't read these letters too much. Or if you live close to a center, to try and make it your regular spiritual reading. So that we spend ourselves to be good children that our Father wanted us to be, with what he says, a minimum of juridical mentality. So that like little children before a great gift, they stand in awe and amazement of the wonderful things that God has given to them, and know how to raise their heart and soul in thanksgiving, to make resolutions to give everything. And so our Mass these days can be a Mass of special thanksgiving as we ask God for the grace to grow in all of these areas. Our Father says in the Forge, my Lord, you always come to meet our real needs. An awful lot of the points of the Forge and the Furrower were inscribed in the soul of our Father through that juridical pathway, his experiences. Give thanks, he says, often to Jesus, for through him, with him, and in him, you're able to call yourself a child of God. Throughout this pathway, our Father felt himself led by the hand to the different stages. One time in Rome, Don Alvaro told us near the end of that juridical pathway that he was with Pope John Paul II, who had mentally approved the canonical structure, which was the exact structure, letter for letter, that our Father had left written. Our Father left three juridical solutions. If the first one wasn't approved, then we promote the second one. If the second one, well, then we promote the third. But the one that Pope John Paul II approved was the first one. And all the difficulties and contradictions around that time led John Paul II, the vicar of Christ on earth, now canonized, to study personally, word for word, everything that our father had left written. It wasn't some third secretary down the corridor. Don Oliver liked to point out that all the contradictions had led to that great grace. And when Pope John Paul finished reading everything that our father had left written, he banged the table, he said, with his big fist and said, "This has to go through." And then at a later moment, Pope John Paul said to Don Oliver, when they were talking one time, "Well, when do you want me to sign the papers?" See the confidence with which the Holy Father dealt with Don Oliver. And Don Oliver told us, "I told him, Holy Father, whenever you want." And then he explained to us that I told him that because we want the juridical solution to come whenever God wants, not when we want. It was another very supernatural lesson that Don Oliver taught us in wanting the will of God in everything. You see, Don Oliver could have said to the Holy Father, "Well, Holy Father, you know, I have 75,000 children all over the world. We're offering their mass every day for the last number of years and decades, and offering their lives and their mortifications and their prayer and work and so many other things for this intention. And our father died without it being fulfilled. So if you wouldn't mind, here's a pen. Could you go and sign those papers right now?" But Don Oliver didn't say that. He said, "Holy Father, we want it whenever you want it." And so we can learn from all these great lessons that our father and Don Oliver teaches us to love the will of God at all moments, in all the ways that it comes to us. The juridical pathway speaks to us of heroic sanctity in all sorts of ways. And the Forge, our Father, also says, "Thank you, Lord, because as well as allowing us to be tempted, you also give us the strength and beauty of your grace so that we can win through. Thank you, Lord, for the temptations you allow us to have so that we may be humble." Well, just after the granting of the special intention, Don Alvaro wrote a letter, a long letter, the November 82 letter, which is a very good letter to go and read sometime. He talks all about thanksgiving for this great event. And at one point in that letter, number 56, he says, "My children, we've been looking at the many reasons we have to be grateful and to persevere in continuous thanksgiving. As we did so, you will have seen that all this ceaseless divine activity in our Father's soul and in the work is expressed and summed up in a work of sanctification. Ceaseless divine activity. God is present in his work with each one of us, bringing about Opus Dei, bringing it forward in every nook and corner and cranny of society. God has arranged all these things to teach us to be his intimate friends and to sanctify us. All these things. And so, Lord, give me the grace to correspond more to my vocation, to have that supernatural outlook that our Father had, to love my vocation and love the work and protect it and serve it in all the ways that you want me to serve it. Meditate on the fact," he says, "that the work of sanctification is attributed to the Holy Spirit. It is he who has really been our guide. It was the divine Spirit who showered upon our founder and the work this abundance of operative graces which are now in our hands." And so he's saying that deep in the soul of our Father, the Holy Spirit was superactive. During all of those years, all of those trials, all of those difficulties, all the time the Holy Spirit was leading our Father forward. as he leads each one of us forward, as he wants to be active in the souls of each one of us, in and through that divine grace that we receive from the sacraments. This is why he continues, "I see clearly that our gratitude to God for what we have received must be expressed in a determination to get to know the Holy Spirit better, to converse with him and love him. We must all set out even more ardently upon truly spiritual pathways, upon ways of intense interior life that enable us to discover within our souls the indwelling and powerful action of the Holy Spirit." Well, a good prayer in our prayer today, a good petition to ask of our Lord would be those truly spiritual pathways. Holy Spirit, lead me along those deeper spiritual pathways, where I find my joy and my peace and my serenity, the purpose of my life. So that from that overflow, well, I can affect more apostolate in the environment around me. From there, he says, we must stride out at a pace of confident love, of friendship, and with total receptiveness to God's action. In these words, it's as though Don Alvaro is describing the whole life of our Father in and through and along that juridical pathway, which in some ways was never ending, although today we celebrate the end. When this establishment was announced in 1982, Don Alvaro decreed 3 days of thanksgiving in the whole of our supernatural family. 3 days of thanksgiving to God for this great intention for which our Father had prayed so much. During that time, Don Alvaro liked to say that somebody lent him a calculator one day, and he began to calculate all the different things that were being offered for this intention, all the masses by people of the work all over the world, the mortifications, many, many deaths, many sicknesses, many cancers. He began to calculate all this on the calculator, and sometimes the figure would hardly even fit on the screen. And he remarked, "If God is demanding so much prayer for this intention to be granted, it must be for an enormous good for the universal church." And so we can get a great holy pride and joy in that, of how we are part of something that is serving the church in such a clear way, doing great things over time. This readiness, he continues, to respond to divine plans is the specific characteristic of souls who converse with the Holy Spirit. The great stranger must be for us the great friend, for with him we will make the paths of the earth divine. Just like the Holy Spirit was active in the soul of our Father, so he'll be active in the soul of each one of us, in spite of our miseries and weaknesses and contradictions and failures. He's bringing about his great work on earth, in us and through us. And we can have a great trust and confidence in that. To accomplish this, he says, I advise you to go frequently to Our Lady and Saint Joseph, great friends of the Trinity, who knew best how to second the inspirations of the sanctifying Spirit, and who most perfectly followed the way God wanted them to. Well, we're about to accompany the Holy Family very closely along their journey to Bethlehem. Very good time for us to turn more frequently to them, so that they might lead us to the Trinity, and also that we learn from them how to listen a little better to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit deep in our soul, that we know he's there always. After the granting of the special intention, Don Alvaro said that famous aspiration of our Father, Cor Maria Dulcissimum iter paro tutum, prepare a safe way. He said, now we can change that slightly and say, Cor Maria Dulcissimum iter serva tutum, O sweetheart of Mary, keep the way safe. It has a great application in our life. Keep the pathway of our vocation safe, of our apostolate, of our marriage, of our family, of our work, of all the plans that God has for our life. And so, with reason, united to the Father, as we look to the 2nd of October 1928, with the help of this letter, we can say with great fervor to Our Lady today, Cor Maria Dulcissimum, iter servitutum. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me during this meditation. I ask your help to put them into practice. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.